Good morning. Today's scripture comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 12 through 25. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen," and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, and they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. And they said to him, "Behold now, there are with your servants 50 strong men. Please let them go and seek your master. It may be that the Spirit of the Lord has caught him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And they said, "You shall not send." But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send." They sent before 50 men, and for 3 days they sought him, but did not find him. And they came back to him while he was staying at Jericho, and he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Now the men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the land is unfruitful." He said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went to the spring of the water and threw the salt in it and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From now on, neither death nor miscarriage shall come from it." So the water has been healed to this day, according to the word that Elisha spoke. He went up from there to Bethel, and while he was going up on the way, some small boys came to the city and jeered at him, saying, "Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head." Then he turned around, and when he saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys. And from there he went on to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. You may be seated.
There are certain passages of Scripture that I can relate to. This is one of them. This is a passage that I can relate to in a very good... And I would warn you, don't pick on people that are bald. I mean, you never know what could happen to you, but I'm going to go in a little different direction than maybe most sermons this morning, because as I started to write the sermon, it was kind of, I was led in a little different direction. And this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about some personal stories, personal convictions I hold, especially in regards to the church needing to pass on the mantle, the legacy, the baton, as we'll talk about, to the next generation. I have a strong conviction that the church needs to learn to better pass on the baton. This is the first time I have ever preached on this text, but I have wanted to preach on this text for a long time because of how personal it is with the whole bald head part of that. Those last three verses, you know, Elisha is being picked on because he's bald, and Elisha gets revenge. It's kind of a unique story in itself. In fact, out of this, I have actually created a youth game that we've played in the youth group or with children before. Most of you are familiar with rock, paper, scissors, right? You know, where rock beats scissors because a rock will smash a scissors. But scissors can beat paper because paper is cut by a scissors, and paper beats rock because paper can cover a rock. Well, I've changed that game into something like this. I call it Prophet, Bears, and Boys. Now, the prophet, he controls the bears. So all the prophet has to do is, "Thus saith the Lord," and the bears come out of the wilderness. Now, the bears, they devour the boys, so the bears attack the boys. But the boys, they get under the skin of the prophet because they go, Baldy, Baldy. And so we've played this game with the youth where, they have to decide what they're going to be. Are they going to be the prophet? Are they going to be the bear? Or are they going to be the boys? And so they all get in a huddle and they line up and they go, okay, we're going to be the prophet. And so they have to come up to the line. They go, thus saith the Lord. And then if it's the bears, they chase the bears. If it's the boys, they run away from the boys. And that's how the game. I was going to see if we would play this, but I know what you would pick. You'd all go, Baldy, Baldy. I know you'd pick that. And I have no power to call out the bears. So you're safe this morning, okay? I have absolutely no power. But what I really want to focus on is the passing of the baton from Elijah to Elisha. And how that could be and should be played out in the church today. You know, there always comes a time in humanity where we need to turn the keys over to the kids. That you have to say, it's your turn now. There's a time when the teacher needs to let the student take over. There's a time when the boss finally says, you can work and you can do it. I don't have to stand and watch over you. It's the reality of life. It's the way God has designed humanity. We don't always get to stay in charge. We're not in control. We need to let the next in line be the one to be in charge. In fact, I've been reading a lot on leadership, and what they've been talking about is that the time to pass the baton is not when you have 6 months left. The time to pass the baton is when you're at the peak of your performance. It's that time when you need to start training the next generation to take over. Now, when I was in high school, I ran in track, and one of the events I ran in was the 4x400. I was the last leg in the 4x400, and it was the last event of the track meet. And what's really important about passing the baton is that you want to pass the baton when the runner with the baton coming around the track is running at his best speed and the next runner is already picking up the speed. You don't want to go to a complete stop and then pass the baton. You want to both be running side by side and then pass the baton. Well, in this particular case, runners 2 and 3, I was runner 4, dropped the baton. And when it finally got to me, I was so far in the back of the pack that there was no chance for me to win. I'd love to say it was a Cinderella story. I went and caught them all and we won. And that was the difference between us in our conference winning the championship and losing the championship. The dropping of the baton. And it was tragic, it was sad, we all felt bad. And what the point of that is I think culture is changing so fast that the church, in some ways, is dropping the baton. We're not passing it on the way we need to. Today, I hope that we see that there is a need to have a proper exchange of the baton spiritually onto one another. The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha, it says here. The dynamics of passing the spiritual baton from one generation to the next is very interesting and complex, especially because our world is changing so fast. It's changing faster than it ever has changed. Think about how much the world has changed in the last 20 years. It's astounding. And even the church has changed in those 20 years. And I was thinking, in my lifetime, what are the things that I've witnessed changed in? The one that I've thought of is the telephone. In my life, the telephone has gone from a party line to a smartphone. Now, a smartphone, I'm not so smart. I'm still learning how to use it. But a party line, does any young person here not even know what a party line is? Emma, do you know what a party line was? Well, a party line was when you actually shared the same line with your neighbors. Your neighbors also were on the same line. And it was kind of cool because you could actually pick up the phone and listen to what your neighbor's conversation was if you're really careful. But the problem with the party line was is if you needed to make a call, you had to wait for your neighbor to finish their call. And it was kind of one of those strange things, and now it doesn't make any sense at all. Why were there party lines? Why couldn't everyone have their own private line? Well, now we don't even have phones in our house, half of us. We just have the one we carry in our pocket. But the phone has changed dramatically. In fact, a lot of young people today, if you call them, they won't answer, but if you text them, they will. Is that true, Michael? And you're like, come on, can't you just pick up the phone and talk to me? But anyways, that's just, you know, one of my little pet peeves, I guess, whatever. Is it possible that the way we present God's message needs to be different than it was 20 years ago? Now, I'm not saying that the message is different. I'm saying how the message is presented is different. And I believe there is something to be learned by being able to be flexible and allowing the message to be presented in a different way, but to maintain and keep the message as it has stood with 2,000 plus years in the church. The message always remains the same. But change is really hard, isn't it? In fact, I was talking to Jackie before the service. She likes tradition. I like tradition. But sometimes we have to embrace change, because change makes the message more effective. You know, 500 years ago, we talked about this 3 weeks ago in Martin Luther, the Reformation. Well, one thing that Martin Luther did, which was very, very important to the church, is he correct the message, the way it was presented, and also its content. Because the message had gotten watered down. It was no longer Jesus only that one came to Christ or to faith. It was Jesus and all of these other things. And Martin Luther said, wait a minute. We've gotten away from the Bible. Let's correct it and get it back on path, the church. And so he helped the church by Reformation to get back to the message, the central message of the Bible, which is Christ is the one and only way to the Father. Not following a bunch of rules, not doing a bunch of things, but Christ is it. Which I'm very, very thankful for, because, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not good enough to follow all the rules. I'm not good enough to do all the things to earn my way to heaven. And good chance that you're not good enough. But Jesus was and is good enough. But there was also something that Martin Luther did in his lifetime that will maybe surprise us. He changed worship. Before Martin Luther, primarily you came to church and basically read scripture, prayed, and heard a sermon preached. There was very little to no singing at all before Martin Luther. Martin Luther actually did something really super radical. He introduced to the church hymns. The hymns that we cherish and sing today hardly are responsible to Martin Luther. You know, a mighty fortress is our God. A song that many of us grew up singing. But the one thing that he did is he used the elements of culture that day to introduce music, because the music of hymns were actually saloon songs. The songs that were sung at bars. And he took that music, he took it and used it with church, wrote these great hymns, other men and women followed, and that's how we ended up with hymns. And today you would go, what? Hymns are old bar songs? 500 years ago they were. But that's how he took a different method to present the message of the gospel through song so that people could know Jesus. This is not to say that everything should be changed or forgotten. Not everything should be changed or forgotten. If I can say one thing to young people, it's this. Young people, the people that have gone before you, the great saints, those who've loved Jesus, who built the church, they were doing their absolute best, and they have something to teach us. In fact, we see this in this text because Elisha does something very unique. Elisha takes off his cloak and takes on Elijah's cloak and puts it on himself. He was taking what Elijah did so well and put it on himself so that he could continue the task of presenting and proclaiming the truth of God. There are things that we need to continue to do that the past generation did. But there are also things that the younger generation do now that we also need to embrace. The reason why is not because we want to do the old stuff that was effective 50 years ago or the new stuff that seems to reach the younger generation now. What we want to do is we want to discover what is the most effective way to glorify God and to present Jesus Christ. And the reality is sometimes it's taking the good old storybook and reading a child the story of Jesus rather than watching a video. But sometimes it's the video that's more effective. But we need to do everything in our means to be the most effective we can be about the gospel. Again, the message has not changed. The method may change. And some of you have heard this story before about my father. My father was basically at best ambivalent towards the church. You've heard me say that, you know, his idea of church was that all they want is my money. That was pretty much his approach towards church almost all of his life until his last couple years of his life. And you know what reached my father? Polka music. I don't have a polka CD. I don't listen to polka music. But I'm extremely thankful for polka music, because it was the thing that God used to help my dad come to know Jesus. You see, in north central Wisconsin, polka's big. And someone had the crazy vision of doing Christian songs to polka music. Seth, are you ready to? Earl, you want to join him? Okay. And it was my father decided, I like that. And he started to go to these polka services. And that's how he came to know Christ. Isn't that crazy? I would never have dreamt that. But that's how God works. How it was presented was through something I would have never thought. The message was still the same. What I really am trying to say is sometimes the old way of doing something is the right way. Sometimes the new way of doing something is the right way. But the message has not changed. But so how can we be most effective in presenting Christ is the question for the church. We need to be open and not closed to the methods. I think everyone, to be honest, understands that the message should not change unless they're a little messed up. But I think that we need to be more open to methods and how it should be presented. And this is my really personal conviction, And I've, you know, this is one of the things that God has done through my life that is amazing. When I look back, I can't believe that God has used me in this way. Having been a youth pastor and working with young people a long time in my life, I have now, in my passing on the baton, I have identified 25 plus young people that are in ministry today. And God used me, a broken jar of clay, to just be involved with a kid's life. And now they're pastors somewhere else, or they're missionaries somewhere else. And I'm like, me? How is that even possible? But one of the things that I really believe that, unfortunately, the reason why there's an exodus from the church for young people, and there's a variety of reasons, but I think the primary reason is because a lot of times the church doesn't believe in young people. See, they come along, they have a different talent, a unique talent, something that's different than the way we've always done it. And so what we say is, you know, like, here's this, I'll take a pick on you, Michael. Michael, he can play music, but it's not the way we used to do the music. And so we say, well, Michael, we're really glad that you want to serve Jesus, but don't do it the way you want to do it. Do it the way we've done it. We've always done it, which actually isn't true, but we think it's true. But and so we kind of squelch Michael from using his gift and talent, his passion for Jesus. And if we squelch that talent enough, Mike will say, well, I guess they don't want me. They don't want what I have to offer. And what's the option that Michael has? Well, he can either find another church, and if that church does it again to him, he finally goes, well, they don't appreciate what I have to offer. I guess I'll take my talent elsewhere. And he takes it into the world. And then we go, well, shame on Mike. Michael, he shouldn't leave the church. But we've squelched his passion. What we should do is say, hey, man, you got a gift. You got a talent, Michael. It's different than mine. But, man, how can I embrace that? How can I equip you and empower you to use that talent? And then he flourishes and he blooms. And all of a sudden, as we've started to see in our own church here, we have young people. Young people, 25 young people or so on Thursday night that are excited about Jesus, that want to serve Jesus. It's because we're embracing and equipping and empowering them rather than squelching that passion. You know, sometimes, just listen here so if you can catch the, we actually tell ourselves spiritual lies by spiritualizing things. Saying like, well, the hymns are more holy and sacred than the modern contemporary music. We're spiritualizing, which is actually a spiritual lie. You kind of catch what I'm saying? Now, I'll say, what if God said we should have a rap service? I don't think he's going to have us do that. I'm not planning on it. I'm not ready to say, yo, yo, get down with Jesus. I'm not going to do that. But if God called us to do that, let's be faithful in the message and embrace the method. And I think that's what we're seeing with Elijah and Elisha. The passing on of the baton. Elijah is saying, it's your turn. Go for it, Elisha. Elisha has learned from Elijah. He takes on the cloak. He's embracing some of the things Elijah did. But I'm pretty confident that Elisha did things differently than Elijah. And culture wasn't changing as fast back then as it is today. And so that radical pace of change makes it really hard to deal with. I think ultimately when it comes to our family, our friends, our coworkers, our fellow students, our community, we should be asking the question, how do we, or what can we do to be more effective at presenting the message of Jesus, the message that remains constant throughout all time. And that's hard. It's really hard. Churches battle over this. They battle over all kinds of things that, and then we fail to pass the baton on. You know, for most of us, 50 years from now, we're gone. We're not going to be here anymore. But there's a few of us here, particularly up front here in this section, they're going to still be here. They're still going to be here. Let's pass the baton on to them. Let's love them enough to say, Jesus is real. Jesus is still the most important thing you can have in your life. I believe in you. You can do it your way. We'll stand behind you. We'll pray for you. We'll even let you do that crazy whatever you're going to come up with. Because I know you love Jesus. Embrace that. And young people, here's the challenge. Believe it or not, we have something to teach you too. We have some wisdom in this whole game. And it's okay to sit at the feet of a wiser person and have them teach you. Because they simply have seen more than you. But what a wonderful exchange it can be if we can learn to do that. And look at each other and say, you have something to offer me, I have something to offer you, and all for the purpose and glory of Jesus Christ, so that more people can know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So let's pray. Holy Father, I thank you. I thank you for the one constant, the one message that remains always the same. You loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save us from our sins so that we can be forgiven and have eternal life. And Lord, I thank you for the church that has been able to proclaim your message for 2,000 years. All of the different means and methods that have been used to present that message. Lord, help us never to become short-sighted, that you can use donkeys, you can use rap music, you can use polka music, you can use me to be an effective proclaimer of the gospel of Christ. Help us to remain constant in the message, but flexible in the methods. We pray this in Christ's name.